Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I've got you on today because we're going to talk about sex.
Are you starting for real?
You didn't even tell me.
Is that real life?
This is the TRT Community Podcast, where we discuss all things testosterone.
I'm Brandon, founder of the TRT community and host of All Things Testosterone. The TRT community is a Facebook group of patients helping patients navigate the struggles associated with testosterone replacement therapy. We have educational resources at testosteronepodcast.com, including TRT-related clinical studies and a doctor search tool. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Hey.
Hey.
So I've got you on today because we're going to talk about sex.
Yeah.
They can't see your eyebrow movements
from
home. So we're talking with Susan Bratton. She's a breast. We're talking with Susan Bratton. She's a best-selling author, publisher of over 30 books, a sexual biohacker. She considers herself to be an intimacy expert to millions. She's a champion and advocate for all those who desire intimacy and passion their whole life long. Susan is a spokeswoman for Gainswave and FemiWave, and is co-founder and CEO of two corporations, Personal Life Media, publisher of Heart-Connected Lovemaking Techniques and Bedroom Communication Skills, and The 20, a manufacturer of organic and botanical supplements that enhance vitality. Susan's been featured in the New York Times, on CNBC, and The Today Show. She makes frequent appearances on ABC, CBS, The CW, Fox, and NBC. And you can find The Susan Bratton Show at betterlover.com. And she shares her personal experience on Instagram at Susan Bratton. So we wanted to make sure to have you on today because we are talking about sex and it might get into the nitty gritty. So I wanted to make sure you were involved. How do you feel about that?
I feel great. We have so much nitty gritty.
Do you have any questions that you think you'll get from Susan or anything that you want to ask in particular?
I'd like to know more about what she does.
I want to know more about what you do.
Okay.
Let's rock. I have so much to tell you and say. I joke that my epitaph is going to be, she had a lot to say.
That's not a bad thing.
I've been really excited to be on the show with you. I mean, just a whole show about testosterone is like, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect, right?
Let's go.
So tell us what a sexual biohacker is.
Sure. Well, biohacking is this idea of optimizing your physical, mental, and even spiritual self. It's not just being average or even great, but beyond great. And then I make an additional distinction too of sexual regenerative therapies and treatments. And a lot of times people are like, yeah, I want to be a biohacker. And I'm like, well, are you even great yet? Because sometimes you have to bring yourself back from, you know, aging, atrophy, injury, a lifetime of a bad lifestyle, things like that, to get to the point where you can even begin to biohack. And biohacking is thought of as primarily health related, but more so entire lifestyle, entire kind of way of being in the world that uses the latest and greatest therapies and concepts to kind of be like your bionic self. It's like really being bionic in some ways. It's doing the things that make you bulletproof, stronger, resilient, at the peak of your game. And sexual biohacking is primarily doing that around not only the physical body, your genitals, primarily, how to optimize your genitals, how to make them, if you're 50, like you were 20, or to do male enhancement or female enhancement, which is a very interesting thing that I've been working on a lot because I have female genitals. But it's also about understanding how your body works, anatomy. It's also understanding love-making techniques, orgasm skills, having really good communication with your partners. So it's not just the physical, it's also optimizing all areas of your sexuality. So that's what I think about as sexual biohacking.
I like that a lot. And, you know, sometimes for me, when we talk about biohacking in general, some of the peptides and the regimens can get a little bit overwhelming. But when we talk about sexual biohacking, I think I would really be into the communication and the techniques aspects of things. And I think that's something that that we do fairly well that I would like to get even further into.
Yeah.
Can I reply to that? Absolutely. A little bit of a pathway? I've got something for you, especially because Kayla's here. One of the things that I did recently around that whole, like, what kind of communication and what kind of pleasuring skills could we do next? And one of the things that I found being an intimacy expert, teaching people how to transform having sex into making love over the last couple of decades, is that people like techniques, but what they really want are really fun ideas of things to do together in the bedroom, or even with themselves in a solo pleasuring way. And I put together something called the Sex Life Bucket List. It's at sexlifebucketlist.com. It's free. It's a free download. And it's a PDF that comes with 48 ideas for what I like to call erotic play dates, because I don't know where you guys are in your arc toward more pleasure together, but you can figure it out by doing it together. And it comes with a 40-minute video. It's kind of your first erotic play date, where you take two copies of the PDF, you download it. I don't keep any of your data. You download it and you watch the video together, maybe lying in bed, you know, or snuggled up in bed together. And I walk you through all 48 ideas and you mark them A, B, or C. A is, I definitely want to do this. It's going on my bucket list. B is, I wouldn't do it, but if Kayla wanted to do it, if Brandon wanted to do it, I would do it with them.
Yeah.
C is, it's not for me right now, because never say never. We mature sexually as we mature in our lives. And then you get your A lists, and then you have fun things to work on that are targeted toward the stuff you two most want to learn and do together, the things that sound most exciting to you right now. And I think that moves people away from this notion of we're going to have sex, or other experts who say, let's schedule a sex date, you know, and it's like, I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work for a lot of women, which leads into a conversation about the difference between being testosterone dominant and estrogen dominant as it relates to sexuality. And there's some really interesting things I'd love to tell you about that. But what it does is it starts to create fun. You learn things together. You begin as beginners. You create new relationship energy. You learn new skills. It connects and deepens your intimacy together. And it facilitates more conversation, which frankly, a lot of people don't talk enough together in the bedroom. And it's one of the sexiest things you can do.
Yeah. How long has that been available? The downloadable?
Not very long. It's one of my latest creations. It might be my latest creation. I've got three more books I'm working on right now, but I recently published that PDF as a download.
So we did something similar 3 years ago or so.
Yeah.
And I've kind of kept track of it, you know, a little bit.
Oh,
and we're running through that list pretty quickly.
Super.
So yeah, we'll have to check out this one. And, you know, I'm curious, and you might have some insight, which comes first, if either the desire to have that communication and to do something like fill out a form like that?
Yeah.
Or, like, I guess what I'm asking is, if somebody has that desire, does that kind of already put them in a different category, like the sexual chemistry, the, you know what I mean, the want to grow there?
Yeah,
or
for sure.
Does doing that catapult them into that category?
Well, they have to want to do it to do it. And a lot of times people get stuck because they're like, well, I want to do it, but I can't talk my partner into doing it. My partner's not open to trying new things. They're super shut down. And when I hear that from people, I say to them, okay, let's get into our compassionate hearts now. And understand that lack of interest is generally just fear and lack of knowledge. And so for a lot of people, even things like, I'm afraid to share my fantasies and my desires with my partner because they're just like so triggered by anything I want to talk about. And when I explain that it's just that they're afraid, that they won't know what to do, that they've been taught something is wrong. I mean, our culture is rampant with shame and repression and trauma. And so often we're paired with partners who've had that happen to them. And that, and partners are the people who often repair that for us through their kind and loving hearts. And yeah, some people need to go to therapy to move through things. But for other people, they're cured, if you will. They're helped so much by their partner's love and patience at opening them to how beautiful sexual pleasure can be. And so I say, don't give up on that. Just slow down and really hear what it is that's worrying your partner or scaring them, because that's really what it almost always is fear.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can you build or improve sexual chemistry, or is that something that you just have from the beginning?
Oh yeah. Sexual chemistry gets built over time. I mean, there's certainly that initial attraction, and that is a wonderful thing. And there's certainly the other end of the spectrum where a person is potentially just like genetically so different, maybe from like a warring tribe a couple thousand years ago, that they're like, they smell bad to you. That you just are not attracted to their body type or how hairy or not hairy they are or whatever it might be. So there's definitely something around visual and physical attraction, but you can take two people that are like, well, you know, he's attractive. I like him, but man, over time, I have just gotten so turned on by him and so into him, and our bodies fit together so well. And I love the way he growls when we're making love or whatever it is. I like to make stuff up, you know?
Yeah.
When she's bent over, I just love the way her back looks. It's so sweet the way she cuddles me, you know, and that generates more connection and more chemistry. So chemistry can definitely grow over the years.
Okay. Do you remember when you told me that my penis was just perfect for you?
Ooh, that's so sweet.
He didn't get it. He thought it was a line. And I was like, no, it's got to be. You know, there's a shape and there's a size, and it just works perfectly.
See, guys take that to mean that it's not big, right? So if like it's either, oh my gosh, it's too big, and that means you've got a big penis, or it's perfect, and that means you have a small penis. We don't really hear anything in between that.
Uh-huh. I know we don't hear it. Men don't hear enough about how beautiful their penises are to us, how much we enjoy touching them, feeling them get erect, how beautiful and soft they feel in the skin of them, you know, just the joy of holding them or putting them in our mouths or having them inside us. I mean, I really feel like there's so much more we need to be doing with cock appreciation and cock worship. And I really like to teach women that. In one of my books, it's Dirty Talk. And I don't really like the word dirty talk, but that's what everybody calls it. And it's how to talk dirty without feeling weird. It's free. It's at dirtytalkbook.com. And I really think that the verbal piece of sex is so, so important. And one of the things that people think is that it has to be dirty, but it doesn't. It can be worship, adoration, noticing, observation, appreciation, letting your partner know what's feeling good, biofeedback, moaning. All of these things are so important, and they are learned skills. So you have to kind of be vulnerable. But intimacy, one of the things about intimacy is that it's vulnerable. That's what makes it intimate. When you take that minute to ask for what you really want, and then you wait for your partner's response, and you're just like in that, oh, I put it out there. How are they going to receive it? What's their response going to be? Man, that can be like super risky.
Yeah.
But then when they come back and they're like, that's so sexy. I would love to do that with you. And you're like, oh, I'm going to get the thing I want. You know, it's like so exciting when that happens. And so you do have to take risks. If you don't freaking go for it in every part of your life, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. And that brings me back to testosterone one more time, which is testosterone is the molecule of go for it, you know? And so when we don't have enough testosterone, we're not running at full testosterone level. we're not going for it. We're diminished and we're not getting the life we want, which is why I am like the champion of testosterone.
Yep. And one of the biggest benefits that I see from me being on TRT are those things. When you say just go for it, I feel like most guys are going to hear, you know, shoot your shot to a stranger in the grocery store, in the gym. And that may or may not be what a woman's looking for. But the way that I view it and execute it are those intimate things. I'm going to say the thing that I probably wouldn't say without TRT. I'm going to make the moan or the growl. I'm going to bite that place. Yeah. You know, like those are the things that you just do it, you know.
Yes.
And they're well received. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's emboldening. Yeah.
So leading a large group of guys like the TRT community, I see all the time guys complaining now that they're on TRT, their partners are not up to par sexually. The libido's not there. The guy's through the roof. The woman is not so interested. And a lot of the ignorant guys in there will say something stupid like, well, does she have a sister she can let you borrow? And so, testosterone does create certain personality traits in men, and I don't think that they always translate directly to women. You mentioned the testosterone and estrogen connections earlier. Yeah. Some of the things that I do rather than think, does she have a sister, is dishes, laundry, helping around the house, those being a helpful life partner really, tend to get you going.
That's true.
And I wish I saw more of that. So how does that kind of tie into the testosterone and estrogen and the communication there? Like, what can guys be doing better to communicate and to essentially get more sex, I guess?
Yeah, right. Exactly. How do you get more sex? So here I'm going to walk you through just a couple of pieces because they all are the foundations of understanding how to get your, and I'm just going to go with, because this is how you framed it. And I think this is the most common, is how to get your wife or girlfriend to want you for sex.
Yeah.
More sex. How can you get her to say yes to you asking her? How could you get her to initiate? And so here's my advice. And by the way, one of the very first, I've written and published 44 books and programs on how to transform having sex into making love, passionate lovemaking techniques, orgasm skills, communication skills. And one of the earliest works that I did was a book called, a program called Revive Her Drive. It's at reviverdrive.com. And there's some free things there that can get you started if you're, just putting a toe in the water. But essentially, because I'm going to talk about it as a man and a woman, but I'll let you know that, I work with a lot of gay men as well. And, there is in the gay community, of course, as well, very much a more feminine, styled persona and a more masculine styled persona. And they're often together because the polarities do attract. So it doesn't really matter what your gender expression is. Let's just go with penis owners and vulva owners together. And that because that is the XX and XY chromosome. And so XX being women, XY being men. And that means XX has a vulva, XY has a penis, at least for now. So I've gotten the politically correct stuff out of the way and made sure that people don't feel left out in my conversation. But I'm just going to talk about dudes and their ladies right now. Not the dudes who look like ladies, but that's fine too. I'm good. Rainbow sparkles all around. I'll toast to that. So men being testosterone dominant, you guys are horny fuckers. Can I say fuckers on the show?
Yeah, you sure can.
Awesome. So men are horny fuckers. Thank you so much for being horny fuckers. I appreciate you for being a horny fucker. Do not change. There's nothing wrong with you. This is good. It's just how you manage it and get into the world of your woman that is going to make or break the difference to how much you get laid and how fun it is and how happy she is. Because what I know is that you want to give her incredible pleasure. You want to rock her world. You want to blow her mind. You want to leave her a heaping puddle of bliss after you're done with her. I get that. You'd put her pleasure over your pleasure. You just need a crack at it to do it. And that's the hard part. And here's why. Because you are a horny fucker. You wake up every day with an erection if you're healthy. You have nighttime erections all night long if you're healthy, and I want you to be. I want you to have those. You wake up and you masturbate every day. And unfortunately, often you have to do that furtively rather than just, right out in the open. You probably are watching some porn. I don't recommend that. I think you should use fantasy because I think it fucks you up, but you're probably doing it. And I get that too. It's made for you. Why would you not? I like to buy shoes and bottles of Barolo. So, you know, here we go. So you're always like under the surface, right? Maybe not even under the surface. And she is the opposite. She's estrogen dominant. So you are the predator and she is prey in the world of the Homo sapien. And remember that we are on the, if you think about all of the animals on the tree of life, all of the animals in the world, from the bacteria to the dolphins, to the ponies and puppies, to the kitties and the lions, we are on the branch of that tree that is primates. So there we are, bonobos, orangutans, Homo sapiens. That is us. We're a friggin' monkey. And so we have to live in an animal body in a society, and that makes it difficult. And we're supposed to behave, which is really hard for us. And then we're hit with the vagaries of how much sleep we had, how much crap we ate, did we get to the gym, how stressed out are we, et cetera. So you got all this stuff going on. So you're the predator, she's the prey. So she's estrogen dominant, which makes her a worry wart. It makes her a multitasker. You can't even listen to me and have me tell you something while you're trying to like write a check or do something. Like, hang on a second, I'm concentrating. You got one thing you can do. And of course, I'm exaggerating, but it's in the exaggeration that you get the, you know, hilariousness of how the hell we ended up together.
That's not an exaggeration.
And then the women are like, I've got 3 million things on my mind. I can't get into my body. I'm totally stressed out. I've done a, you know, so this is why the honeydews do help, because it takes shit off her plate. But you could do all the honeydews in the world and she still won't have sex with you because she's just this estrogen dominant person living in her mind. So what she needs is your masculine energy to get her out of her mind and into her body so she can surrender to her pleasure. The problem comes in here. That wasn't even the problem. That was just like, okay, here's what we're dealing with. The problem is that when you think, I want to have sex, I am ready to have sex, I got an erection, let's go. She's got the same amount of erectile tissue in her vulva as you do in your penis. And you know how, is this ever going to be on video or is this only audio?
Yeah, we're going to do video.
Super. I've got diagrams. So you've got this giant schlong, hopefully, and or whatever is right for your partner, whatever size you want. Though I would like to talk about penis enlargement because I am the queen of penis pumps. And I want to tell guys they can have a bigger dick if they want to. And it really works. So you've got this penis that looks like a banana. Half of it is in your body and half of it is out of your body. So it's 50% bigger than it looks like in full erection. All of it is erectile tissue. If I peeled that erectile tissue out, like I took the fruit out of a banana and I turned it into a circle, I'm going to get you the vulva now. I've got vulva pictures, of course. These are all my custom illustrations as well, because I think they show things better than anything else can. So here's the vulva. And if I peel away the tissue from her vulva, this is her clitoral tip, her shaft, her legs, or her arms, the legs of her clit, that's one erectile tissue network. The second one is this, the urethral sponge called the G-spot, but it's not a spot, it's a spongy tissue. This is the perineal sponge down here underneath her vagina. This is her vagina. It's surrounded by erectile tissue, the same amount that was in your penis. Take it out, make it into a little circle with a point at the top, wrap it around her vagina. That's all her tissue. The problem is that as a man, especially one on testosterone, a horny devil, you've got fast acting hemodynamics and a straight shot down the chute of your penis. So you go, horny. The blood goes, bing, you get an erection in a minute or two or less, and you're ready to penetrate her. You're ready to go. When you think sex, you think intercourse, which I don't blame you. Intercourse is my favorite part of things too. Once I learned how to orgasm from intercourse, which is a learned skill that all women can do without even touching the tip of her clit. It's literally just, you need to know what to do, which I teach people all the time for free on my betterlover.com channel. I always like to drop the things as I say them. So wherever people are, they're like, that's what I need to do. I need to get my wife to come when I fuck her. Then you just go to Better Lover, write in penetration orgasm, and the videos will come up that show you what might be missing from what you're doing so she can get over the edge with you. So he's ready to go, but she takes so long to get turned on. She's in her head. You got to get her in her body. And it takes her 20 to 30 minutes for that blood to really flow in for her to get, basically, you could call it like her lady erection. And her lady erection needs to fill up three different nooks and cranny kinds of things to really get to the point where intercourse is going to be orgasmic to her. And so mostly what happens is he's so ready to go that when he gets a chance to have sex with her, he does the grab a boob and stick it in kind of sex. She didn't get aroused. She didn't really have an orgasm from that. And then he's wondering why she never initiates quote unquote sex, because it didn't mean you're going to hold her, stroke her hair, tell her how beautiful she is, rub her feet, rub her belly, squeeze her butt, kiss her cheeks, kiss her eyebrows, kiss her on the lips, do some French kissing, kiss her neck, play with her breasts, not just grab her nipples, play with her nipples, give her orgasms from her nipples, give her a genital massage, go down on her. And then when she's ready, her vagina will suck you in, and then she will start to have orgasms, and then she will be much more available for wanting you for sex. And it's nobody's fault. Guys just don't know these things. They don't understand that they need to slow down and come back and get us. And when guys say, how come she never initiates? I always say, well, what if it's just like not her job? Like my husband of 30 years this year, Sir Tim, has literally been taking out the trash and killing all of the animals in the house that are not supposed to be there. The spiders, the snakes, the mouses, it's the scorpions, without asking. That's just his job. He does not expect me to kill scorpions. That's his work. And he doesn't expect me to initiate either, but he doesn't offer me sex. He offers me, would you like to have a yoni massage? Would you like to cuddle? You know, he gives me these smaller offers that aren't so big, so I don't say no. He stopped offering me sex long ago. The idea is that the more opportunities you create for connection, for intimacy, for pleasure that allow her to slow down and remember how much she wants you and does love you and wants to be close to you, the more often you're going to net sex, quote unquote. And for the guys that are saying, my wife won't let me go down on her, my wife won't let me do this, my wife won't let me do that, you got to start with even smaller offers. And once you start touching her without trying to get sex from her, once you start touching her for the pure pleasure of having her in your arms, once you start having her, it be fun to be with you instead of desperate, needy, grumpy, and victim, she's going to start responding. She wants you to romance her, to love her, to touch her, to stroke her, to compliment her. And she wants to have hot sex with you. She wants that. It's not that she doesn't. But there could be something you're doing that's pissing her off outside the bedroom. So you have to check that too. Make sure you're meeting her needs in the relationship. Because if there's something about you that is turning her off, like bad breath or grooming is super important to women. If you're skanky and scratchy and stinky and you're saying, do you want to have sex? Who's going to say yes to that? So you have to understand what the lady likes and make that available to her. And then she may never ask for it. But when you start making her these smaller offers, she's just going to be like, okay, yes, okay, I'll try that. Okay, let's try. And so I don't know where she is on the spectrum, but these are the things that generally work at helping you have way more sexual fun, erotic play dates, and intercourse over time.
Yeah, I like that. I like to think of it, and we talk about this, like it's those small gestures. I'm not running the bath or I'm not doing the massage for tonight per se. Yeah. I'm doing it for tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. That's what I'm trying to do, those little things that just kind of keep her in that mood or put her there more easily, more often, rather than a payoff right now.
Definitely. Yeah. And it can pay off right now too.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean,
it usually does.
Really, Mm-hmm. Kayla, don't you think women are generally, if we're with the guy that is doing those kinds of things, we're generally very open to having as much sex as they are?
Absolutely. We're just, you know, it's kind of to wrap up what you were saying. Some women just need their man to speak their language.
Yes.
So we're definitely more receptive when they go about it our way.
Exactly. And for a lot of guys, they just don't know because they don't live in our bodies. So they take lack of initiation as rejection and victimhood, because those are emotions men are allowed to have in our society. Men aren't allowed to be vulnerable. They're not allowed to have that stuff. And so that's the other piece of it, is helping men get over their penis shame, love themselves, have the full range of emotions, understand that they're wanted, not feel ashamed about their desire. These are all things that I want for men, that I stand for, to help men. Because I know in men's hearts, they've been painted so negatively, and they are such good people, but nobody tells them these things.
Absolutely. Yeah. He comes from a place of being told things like, oh, you're just doing that to get laid, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you're doing it to get laid? That's great. Thank you. Yeah.
So how can we leverage the benefits of TRT to help us with this? Is it as simple as, like I was saying earlier, where that just gives me the balls to say or do whatever is necessary? Or are there other ways that we can be using our higher testosterone to speak that language?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I think is, I mean, I personally do testosterone replacement myself, and I love the benefits of it. I mean, I am a 61-year-old woman, and I am a bomb-ass bitch, and I love it. I mean, my clit is super good. I have incredible sex. It's super orgasmic. I'm strong. I've got, you know, really good muscles from working out in the gym. I have the confidence to go for things. I just feel so good on testosterone that I don't know why more men aren't encouraging their wives and partners to do testosterone replacement, because I'm not interested in being an old granny, nor is any man I know. I don't know if women are, but I don't think they have, I don't think a lot of women even know they have the choice not to become just to be a little old lady. Yeah. That's the last thing I want to be, as a little old lady. I'm like a Viking warrior woman, you know, that's what I like to be. I'm a marauder. I'm a barbarian. I just friggin' love heavy lifting. I love sex. And I wouldn't be loving all those things if I wasn't doing testosterone replacement. So it is a beautiful gift for both partners. So that's number one. Number two is, we love your masculine. We love your go for it. We love your strength. We love your initiation. We love your growling. We love your muscles. We love all those things about you. That's, you know, very desirable for us. So don't hide them. Own them. They're sexy. But remember, we're not you, and we need you to do that heavy lifting to get us from. So I like to talk about libido, desire, and arousal. Libido is your body. Are you horny, baby? It's that, right? Desire is, how do I feel about myself? Body image issues are huge for women, because estrogen is the molecule of judgment and criticism, because it's there to keep us safe. So we look at everything like, is this going to bother us? Are we going to get in trouble about this? Is that either we're judgy? That's why women are so judgmental. It's because it actually serves to keep us safe, because we're, again, the prey. So desire, is there something that she's missing in her relationship with you? One of the things that I teach people is how to understand what her relationship values are. Why is she in a relationship with you? And because you're in a relationship with her for totally different reasons that she's in a relationship with you. So you can't use the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You have to use the platinum rule, treat her the way she needs to be treated to be in relationship with you. So that's very important in the desire realm, that she's getting what she needs. Often it's both safety and security. It could be freedom. It could be a lot of different things. Then arousal is that timing thing, how it takes 20 good solid minutes of what we call in our world foreplay. But I don't like the notion, the distinction of foreplay and sex, because it's very patriarchal. It's very rooted in religious repression. And here's why. When you think about intercourse as being the thing that is sex, and everything else is just foreplay to get to sex, then what's really happening is there's this inordinate amount of pressure on her to have intercourse almost always before she's been ready. And intercourse is like, sex is only for procreation. So you can only intercourse counts. Bullshit. Oral's just as hot. So, yoni massages, lingam massages, making out while you're stroking each other. I mean, there's a million things you can do that are just as hot as intercourse. Mm-hmm. And so getting out of the mindset that intercourse is like the jewel of the crown of sex, maybe it's on the front, it's the headpiece on the front, but I wouldn't call it the jewel of the crown. Expanding your skill set so that more things are fun is really important. And then that gives her time to get fully turned on, because your arousal is like a straight up curve. Her arousal is little step up, 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 little step up at a snail's pace compared to yours. So once you begin to think about, okay, is it her libido? Is she ill? Because how turned on she is the other side of the same coin as her overall health. So if she has some health issues, she's just not going to be as horny. You got to help her solve her health issues, because testosterone does the heavy lifting. Testosterone says, baby, we're going to fix this. Let's get you to the doctor. Let's figure it out. Let's change our diet. Let me take you for a walk. Let's solve the health problem, because she's too sick to solve it herself. So if you have a wife that's not well, she's not going to have a libido. You got to start there. So that, and then, are you meeting her needs? That's the desire. And how can you make her feel more comfortable about how beautiful she is to you? Because she's like, my ass is fat. My boobs are saggy. I don't know. I don't feel like having sex. I'm ugly. But you know, that's just estrogen talking. That's just estrogen doing its dirty deed to her. So you go like, baby, cut that shit out. You are gorgeous to me. I love to have sex with you. You are my woman. I picked you. Let that go. Turn off the lights. I'll light some candles. Don't worry about it. I love the way you feel, smell, taste, and connect my heart to my cock for me. Let's go. So you have to be the one who's overcoming the bullshit women live with being estrogen dominant. You guys are lucky. Being an estrogen dominant person is much more difficult a way to go in this world than being a testosterone dominant homo sapien. So we need you to help us with that stuff. And then we need you to turn around, slow down, come back, and get us up that ladder. Drag our asses up that ladder until we're just like ruthlessly, sexually self-expressed, horny bitches.
I like that jewel in the crown thing too. I mean, intercourse is not even typically how we will end our sexual experiences together. You know, it's in the middle somewhere, but then there's usually more after that. And
even alone, yeah. Sometimes yeah. The other things stand alone. I will say he's very, very good at that.
Excellent.
I'm real good at sex.
Yay, Brandon. Yeah. Super. I'm so happy to hear that. And that's the great thing about sex. Once you're good, you just keep getting better and better and better. I mean, you build on your skills. It's the beautiful thing about sex. I always joke that sex, if sex were like a brand, it would be sex. There's always something more. That's sex's tagline.
Yeah. Yeah. So much of it is just a mentality, you know, getting past the embarrassment or, you know, doing the moan, saying the things and giving a shit. I think that goes a long way.
Yeah.
And getting over the things, you know, things from the past, because I've come from a place where sex wasn't very important. And now, I would say it's pretty important.
Yeah, definitely.
But also, you know, things people have told you, like you said, my ass is fat or whatever, even, oh, I haven't shaved my legs in a couple of days.
Yeah. Give me things that. Like,
so he'll say things like, but I like it when your legs are hairy, because then it feels like you're more comfortable with me. And so not only will he say it, but he'll give me the reason why it's true.
That's nice.
You know, kind of combat.
If it were up to me, I'd hide all the razors. They'd all be gone. No more of that.
Nice. There you go.
All right, Susan, anything you want to leave us with?
Yeah, I want to talk about penis enlargement.
Let's
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Great. I'm really, really, really supportive of men and their being fulfilled sexually themselves. And it started out for me in the regenerative area where, you know, a lot of my guys would email me. So one of the things that I've been really lucky about is I don't see clients one-on-one. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm a sexpert. I just can think about and write and explain and teach people how to turn friction into connection, how to have hot sex, how to get your woman to really let go and surrender to her pleasure with you. And what does she need and things like that. And so I've been lucky that men have been writing to me and of late, of course, now since the social media is sliding into my DMs and things and really just asking me things, super vulnerable things that they can't ask anyone else. And so I've just grown such a big heart for men's issues. And it started with basically ED problems, right? And so then I learned, okay, what do you do to reverse erectile dysfunction? What's the biohacking stack that you need to reverse erectile dysfunction, to reverse atrophy from illness, et cetera? And that's when I became a spokesperson for two companies. One was Gainswave and one was the Dr. Joel Kaplan Penis Pump Company. And I went to them because it seemed to me that when I was recommending these things to guys, take a nitric oxide booster made of citrulline, which is why I launched my own supplement company to make a clean, organic product for people, men and women, all bodies, to replace nitric oxide loss. Because a lot of people think, oh, it's my hormones. And yeah, it is, but it's also nitric oxide production. Getting them off the antibacterial mouthwashes and the proton pump inhibitors, fixing their gut microbiome, you know, doing the things that it takes to get function back. But then I realized that vacuum erection devices are really, really good, not just in combination with Gainswave treatments and testosterone and nitric oxide and reversing atrophy, but they're really good for penis enlargement. And I have to admit, I don't like guys to feel bad. This is just my personal thing. And not all women are like me, but I'm a bit of a size queen. That's because I'm an almost 6 foot tall woman I have a giant vagina and I need a fairly large penis. I'm not a petite. I'm not a spinner. I'm the opposite. I'm like Spider Woman in your bed. And I really liked the idea of male enhancement. And the Dr. Kaplan company taught me about this Whopper system, which is the two cylinder system. I have it. I'm going to show it to you. So it comes with a large cylinder that your penis and your scrotum go into, your testicles go into, that pulls on this suspensory ligament and tugs it to give you drop, more length, both flaccid and erect, but really it's about erect size. Flaccid size is so all over the map. It doesn't really, a lot of guys get hung up on how small they are flaccid. And I'm like, just let that go. Nobody's even thinking about that. You know, that's just like something you took on. So just like every time it comes in your mind, just let it go. We're looking at erect length here, like erect length and girth. And for most women, men want longer penises, but they also want thicker penises. And that's the smaller tube. And the smaller tube is, it can be small. They go big, big, big. There's a whole range of sizes. You get one that fits right, that you can grow into. And when you grow out of it from making your penis bigger, you just get the next size. So it's a nice system. And this improves the thickness around the girth of your penis. So it's both a length and girth system, the Whopper. And then they added on these red light sleeves now at my request. They're literally building products that I request for them because I'm a biohacker. So now there's red light therapy. You can wrap this around the pump for more recovery. It's just like building muscle where you're drawing blood in through the vacuum. You're increasing the blood carrying capacity of the penis. You're growing more capillaries to carry more blood to get a larger, firmer erection. You're stretching out the skin. You're stretching out the tunica albuginea. It's expanding. Cells are replicating. You're growing the penile tissue. You're growing more nerves. You're increasing the blood supply. You're growing everything by doing, bringing all that healing blood into your penis. And the red light actually helps with recovery because, like building a bicep, you do the build by breaking down the tissue a little through expanding it with blood. And then you need the recovery days for the tissue to grow and make the bicep bigger or the penis bigger. So red light is really good. And then they recently also added, let me turn off my red light here. They also recently added a penile extender. This is kind of a super comfortable extender for men that want to accelerate length even faster. You wear this. Now, this is an erect penis, but you wear it in your pants like this, and it doesn't even show, and you're flaccid. And you do it before you pump for a half an hour, and that gets you faster lengthening gains. So guys, within 3 months of pretty regular pumping, 2 to 3 times a week with recovery days in between, they can see significant differences looking in the mirror or looking down at themselves. Within 10 months to a year, they can get 20 to 25% more overall penile volume. Wow. And that's, the sky's the limit. I mean, I just had a guy who was 10 inches long, 7.5 inches thick, say, "Do you think I'm a candidate for pumping?" I'm like, "Dude, 20%, you could have a 12-inch penis. I mean, I don't know if you want that." And he's like, "No, I think I just want more girth." And I was like, "I think that's a wise idea." Even for a size queen, I'm like, 10's a good, you're good, dude. But girth, why not? Why not get even thicker? And they have cylinders to accommodate. So they're used to very large men. I mean, if a guy's large, he wants to get even larger. Like it's just a game for some guys. They love it. And what I never want guys to do is feel badly about what they have if they're happy with it. But if they want more, why not have it? And what's great about it is that pumping like that, it also improves overall firmness and erectile function. It gets it nice and veiny. It looks really beautiful. It operates at a better level than it's ever operated. And it's like a $200 item. I mean, like it's, in the grand scheme of things, pretty much any guy can save up his money and afford a penis pump. And it makes men and their partners so happy when the guy feels really good about his penis. So I just like to talk about it in safe places where I know it's going to be appreciated, because I want men to know that if they've tried pumping in the past and they're like, "Oh, this didn't work," it's probably because they bought a Chinese novelty item from an adult store. They didn't have the appropriate protocol. They didn't know, they weren't told what to do. So I wrote a book. It's free. It's called The Pumping Guide. And you can download this in PDF form. You don't have to buy it on Amazon. You can get it for free. And it gives you the exact protocols, what to do if you just want to make for size, what to do if you're reversing atrophy, how to stack it with Gainswave, what nitric oxide works best, why you also want to take a multivitamin, multimineral, how the exact pumping, what the negative vacuum should be over time, how to add the extender, how to add the red light, how to add the P shots, which are the PRP, like all the things. If you want to do all the things, or if you only want to do one thing, what are you going for? What are your goals, and how to figure that out? And guys, once they start on a program like that, then they are so happy. So I want to end with one thing about that. And that is that if this raises questions for you, I'm happy to answer them. If they're not answered in the pumping guide, but don't send me dick pics to my Instagram. I really want to be very, very clear that I do not want your penis pictures in my Instagram, because they will shut me down. And I have worked my ass off to grow my Instagram. Do not mess that up for me. You can send them to me. If you're on my email newsletter, you can reply to my email newsletter, or you can send them to me on my OnlyFans, which is onlyfans.com/Susan Bratton. And I will be happy to give you advice. But what I need is your length from your belly to the tip and the girth. And I need not just a picture of your penis, but a picture of your penis on your body erect is really, you don't have to send me your face, but just so I can see what's going on with proportions, because there are also some guys that have like small heads or small like broken shafts, or there's injuries or curves or issues, and guys want to know how to fix those. So there's like head enlargers and all kinds of things. So I can kind of help you give you a strategy for getting the penis that you want using the tools that are available. And it's my pleasure to do that because that's what makes me good at what I do. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about that. I'm happy to answer any questions, of course, while we're on the show here. But I do like to bring it up in safe places like this because I know men want to know what they can do and who they can trust. And I'm trusted, which is, you know, I've worked very hard to be a trusted resource around something that for some men brings them shame. And I don't want them to have any shame about it.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get a lot of dick pics.
I get a lot of dick pics. I don't mind at all. Mm-hmm. I've seen a million. I've seen more dicks than a urologist. I like dicks. I love dicks. Honestly, I do. I mean, I just love them. They're amazing things. So it doesn't bother me at all.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Susan. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Brandon and Kayla. It's been really nice to be on your show. And thank you so much. I really look forward to it coming out. And I'm here if you need anything at all. Just let me know.
Well, what do you think about that?
That's a lot of information to process.
Yeah, she's got a lot of good information.
I feel kind of proud because I feel like a lot of the things she was saying people need to work on comes so natural to us.
So, and yes, I don't know. Do you think it comes natural or do you think that I think that we work pretty hard on making sure that we communicate through a lot of that. And I like to push. And you know what? We joke about having like a list or the things like I want to do all the things, you know, I want to lick your butt and I want to do all the things. And I think a lot of it stems from that. It's like I never want to stop growing and learning you and us.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's just the communication that comes so easy, and that's what makes everything else
come so easy.
Comes so easily.
Thank you for listening to the TRT Community Podcast. You can find us online at facebook.com/groups/TRT Community.